You are listening to Retronauts, a part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. To hear more great shows, or to learn how you could become part of our consortium of independently owned podcasts, check out greenlitpodcasts.com. This week in Retronauts, it ain't easy being green. Everyone, welcome to Retronauts episode, wait for it, 413. This is an episode we're calling Green Mario Gaiden. It's a story, side story, about a green guy who kind of looks like Mario, but he's not. We've talked about every Mario character to this point, I'm pretty sure. Like, didn't we have an episode on Sniffit at some point? We've just gone into a great amount of depth in terms of Mario characters and their spinoffs and standalone projects and media appearances and so on and so forth. But there is one character we've overlooked, and I feel we're fully justified in that because, as we'll see in this episode, the discussion we'll have, this character is often sort of, I mean, it kind of started out as an afterthought and often is overlooked by Nintendo and never really given or rarely given the props that he is due, despite his omnipresence for more than 35 years of video games, almost 40 at this point. So we are talking, of course, about Green Mario. And here to discuss this this fellow with me, the Mario, but on the opposite end of the color spectrum. Oh, wait, I'm Jeremy Parrish, yes. And the people who are here with me on this episode, over in California.
Hey, everybody, it's Bob Mackey, and I think most listeners would consider me the Green Mario of this podcast because I'm taller, and I was invented later, and Jeremy's the one who always wears a hat. And that's my evidence so far.
I was going to have this discussion during this episode. You were taller, leaner, came in a little later. I was here before you, and also I am sometimes drawn chubby and sometimes drawn svelte. So,
and I'm in love with a woman named Daisy. Don't tell my wife.
And also in California.
Hey, it's Henry Gilbert and Mario, where are you?
That's what it doesn't I matter wonder. Because we're talking about his brother this time.
That's for right. All the Car 54, where are you Green. Fans out there?
And finally, across the ocean, some ocean or another.
I'm Stuart Jip. I guess I would be the toad of the group if you're Luigi. And I can't really reveal why that is, unfortunately.
In a very recent episode, you referred to yourself as Wario, so I'm actually very surprised by this.
Wario and Toad have quite a lot in common, I think. We'll get into it at some point. We'll get into it.
I think we need to have this conversation now.
Well, you know, I mean, I could sit here all day and I could list off so many reasons, but we're here to talk about Luigi, so forget it.
Let's move on. That's his name, yes, Luigi. Where did that guy come from? What's with that name? Is Luigi short for Leguizamo? It's one of many questions that we're going to answer this episode as we discuss Green Mario. So let me ask you, gentlemen, where did you first encounter Green Mario?
Oh,
was he even green when you first encountered him?
Ooh.
Yeah, when I became a Mario super duper fan, it was in the Super Mario Brothers era. And so I have a brother. So that's another reason I was, I think, drawn to the Brothers franchise, other than just it's a really fun video game. And once we got an NES in, like, I think 87, then at the same, a little after that came the Deke cartoon. And Luigi is such a central character in there that it's like, if me and my brother would be play acting, I'd be Mario and he'd be Luigi, because, you know, even though sometimes they're twins, sometimes they're not, I feel like Mario is the older brother's role to play in childhood play acting. But so I he was always a key part of the Mario franchise to me, Luigi.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I encountered Luigi in the original Mario Brothers arcade game, which was the first arcade game I was really super fascinated by, but I never played it as him because I always played alone. And I didn't think mm-hmm. I don't think I thought much about Luigi until a friend of mine had Mario Brothers 2, and I would just watch him play it a lot and then play it and fail miserably because I was just really bad at it. And he would always play as Luigi, and I could not believe someone could successfully play as Luigi, because to me it was hard mode. So at first Luigi was an intimidating force in my life, but then I grew to appreciate him and love him. him.
And now you identify with him.
Mm-hmm.
Stuart, how about you?
I first encountered Luigi in Super Mario Brothers as well. I used to rent a NES from a library in my hometown. I had no real strong feelings towards Luigi, unfortunately. He was just the unusual one. I suppose in that respect, I did root for him a little bit because he is kind of the underdog. His name's not on the packaging. I don't think he's mentioned on the packaging at all. He's just there. He's like a mystery, I suppose. So yeah, I do appreciate that about Luigi.
Well, his name is emblazoned at the top of the screen when you play as him. And that was actually, come to think of it, I guess my first Super Mario Brothers experience was playing as Luigi, because I had a friend who lived down the block who was one of the cool kids. Actually, he wasn't cool. He just was one of the lucky kids who got an NES very early, like 1986. And, you know, at that point, there weren't that many games for it. So mostly what we played when I came over to his place was Super Mario Brothers. And he was always player one and I was always player two. And because he, you know, owned the game and played it all the time, he would play for a long period of time. And then I would play as Luigi for like 30 seconds and die because I'd never played it before and didn't know what I was doing. And it was weird because the controls were across pad. Like this cross. What the hell was that all about? Where was the joystick? It was so confusing. So my first experiences as Luigi were, you know, just rife with failure. But I did encounter Luigi, you know, before that in Mario Brothers, although I don't know that I ever got to play the arcade game co-op, but I did play it from time to time. But as it turns out, most people, you know, mark Mario Brothers as the origin of Luigi, but in reading about this, I went to, you know, places like the Mario Wiki, and they claim that that's Mario Brothers for the arcade is not the first showing of or the first appearance of Luigi. Apparently, the Game & Watch Mario Brothers, which is a different game. It's more like a, I don't know, kind of a back and forth managing multiple level sort of thing. That was actually released about 4 months before the arcade game, March 1983 versus July. And therefore, that would be the first appearance of Luigi. And in that game, he was solid black because it was Game & Watch and every character was a solid black silkscreen. So he looked exactly like Mario, even more so than usual, because they were just, you know, silhouettes. But I would also argue that Luigi debuted before that, because in 1982, you had the sequel to Mario's debut, Donkey Kong Jr., and Mario plays the role of the villain in that. But in the opening of the game, there is a brief cutscene where two Marios appear at the top of the screen, hauling Donkey Kong to captivity. And it's possible that Mario briefly cloned himself or created like a ninja shadow duplicate. But yeah, more likely is that he and Luigi were in cahoots together, getting into the villainous endangered animal trade game where they realize they should be heroes rather than villains. So I kind of see that as Luigi's debut, even though he's not called out as a character and is just a mirror image in every respect of Mario. Hmm. But who else is that going to be? Who else?
It's got to be him. I think this is it. Like, yep. That's got to be him.
Absolutely.
I figured that was just Nintendo feeling that every carpenter in New York looks the same. They all look like that.
I was going to make the joke that Luigi made his first appearance on a pizza box, but I was reading the Luigi Wiki, and apparently that's partially true, because this sounds apocryphal, but there's a bit of trivia where there was a pizza pie restaurant by Nintendo's headquarters called Mario and Luigi's. So that's how they got the only two Italian names they knew were from that restaurant. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's listed as a fact on a wiki, right? It's cited, so it has to be true.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and there's also the theory that Luigi comes from the Japanese word Ruriji, which means similar, because Luigi is just a palette swap of Mario, or sometimes just identical. But I feel like that might be one of those things, you know, where they kind of backported some meaning into something. I don't know. Luigi is a legitimate Italian name, much like Mario.
I agree with the sentiment.
New Yorkers never mispronounce Luigi's name, unlike Mario.
I agree with the sentiment of Print the Legend, and so I say you go with that. That it was about a pizza place across the street in Seattle from Nintendo of America's home base.
The same pizza place where Pac-Man was invented.
Yeah.
And this is where Mario and Luigi perfected their trade of ape child enslavement and so forth. This is the origin of Pizzagate.
Really sort of buried that. I don't really want to talk about that now.
Investigate the basement of Mario and Luigi's. There are many toads down there.
Anyway, I think most people became aware, of a certain age became aware of Luigi thanks to Atari, not Nintendo, because Atari licensed Mario Brothers for Atari 2600 and published a pretty successful port, even though the American console marketing was in the process of cratering. It's not like people just said, oh, video games, I don't want those. And, you know, this was a popular arcade game, a sequel to Donkey Kong. It was well-liked, well-known, and, you know, it did pretty well for itself. But Atari published a commercial, which Henry was singing earlier, where it doesn't show Mario. It presents the game as if you are on a quest to rescue Mario, as opposed to punch turtles and flies from beneath with your brother as your companion, your helpful assistant. And Luigi is like running around the pipes, panicking, singing Mario, Where Are You? To the tune of the Car 54 television theme, which is a really weird choice. But, you know, it was the early 80s and there was a lot of cocaine happening, especially in the marketing industry. So I'm going to accept it. But yeah, like that's kind of the first big showing of Luigi. And honestly, I have to wonder how much that commercial kind of informed later characterizations of Luigi, because the sort of timid, you know, like where the hell is Mario became pretty much canon with, especially with Luigi's Mansion. But, you know, even in later appearances, he often was presented as being kind of a little bit of a nebbish, a little bit more timid than Mario, more easily startled, etc., reliant on his big brother or shorter, older brother, as the case may be. So yeah, I feel like that by coincidence or, you know, by just stroke of fate, that commercial really did a lot to sort of cement the idea of Luigi in the mind of the American public.
You know, I was thinking about this too, that I'm not saying I've watched every vintage commercial for Mario products that was, you know, put out in Japan, but I have seen a few, and most focus on Mario himself. It's like Luigi isn't part of the commercials for it, or it's him and Donkey Kong, but I definitely get the sense that for, you know, the American advertisers, all the way back to that first Atari commercial, they see this Luigi character and like, well, who's he? What's his deal? You know, what's his story that he looks exactly like this other guy? Like it creates an interest that you want to dig into, and it's, you know, classic duo comedy like Abbott and Costello, the Laurel and Hardy,
it's got to be manzai comedy. I mean, this is Osaka and Kyoto we're talking about.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, that I think is definitely the Japanese interpretation, but I just feel like the first people to make those jokes with Luigi in these U.S. ads in the 80s, because like, well, he's a silly side guy, though then it's time, like in the Deke shows, for example, they just write him as, you know, like he's just also Mario. There's not much difference between you write the two of them, other than that he is the second banana to Mario, and Mario takes the lead in most adventures.
Yeah, I would argue that Americans tend to have, you know, historically a more developed view of what Luigi even is as a character due to Super Mario Brothers, due to those Atari commercials. I mean, if you look at the Japanese Super Mario Brothers too, that's kind of like where Luigi sort of becomes a primary playable character who is distinct from Mario, you know, with the higher jumps and the slippery friction traction. But the American Super Mario Brothers 2 really did a lot more to define him, you know, giving him even more dramatically varied controls and skills than Mario, but also physically redefining him. And he's taller than Mario in Super Mario Brothers 2, because the character of whom he is a sprite replacement, a ROM hack, was the mother of the main character and wore like a very tall sort of hat thing. So in order to fill up the space for that sprite, they were just like, yeah, let's just stretch out Mario. And so that kind of defined, you know, Luigi's physical appearance in this this ROM hack of a non-Mario game. And then so much of the early Nintendo character marketing of the NES era was drawn specifically from Super Mario Brothers 2. There was so much Super Mario Brothers 2 paraphernalia. I mean, that's when Nintendo really got big. You know, they launched Nintendo Power Magazine with Super Mario Brothers 2 on the cover. And even though Luigi's not on that cover, there's just so much artwork from that area where they really started to license out their characters and properties. And obviously Mario was the big one they licensed out. You didn't see a whole lot of like Mike Tyson's Punch Out or Star Tropics bed sheets or something like that. But you saw a ton of, you know, just like every imaginable product with Mario. And the most prevalent and available artwork at the time was Super Mario Brothers 2. So all the characters kind of got, you know, a lot of billing. But I really think that did a lot to cement the concept, the nature of Luigi for Americans and probably Europeans as well. I can't really speak to that, but maybe Stuart can. Much more so in a more concrete and developed, you know, way than kids in Japan would have seen.
I didn't really think of Luigi as having a personality until Luigi's Mansion, when it became clear that his personality was that he was scared of ghosts. But I can relate to that, to be honest. I find Luigi more relatable than Mario. Yeah, always have done.
You're right, Jeremy. A lot of the defining Luigi in terms of what he looked like was because of Doki Doki Panic or Super Mario Brothers 2.
Oh,
yes.
Wow,
a little bit of obscure trivia for you guys out there. But,
is that the prequel to Doki Doki Literature Club?
I think so. I haven't played the latter, but I'm sure they're related. But that's why as a weird little kid, I was frustrated when after Mario Brothers 2 for Mario 3 and Mario World, they went back to giving Luigi the same sprite as Mario, where I was like, no, he's different.
Yeah,
he's a different man.
Peeved me off too. And you know, you think about how the world of marketing and selling all of these tie-in toys was in the 80s. You know that they, you can totally see the timeline of Nintendo had this big hit with Super Mario Brothers, but they weren't fully ready to capitalize on it. You know, in selling it and all the side content you can sell. So by the time they've got Mario 2 USA. Ready, that they have to solidify all these things. They're like, okay, we've got all the characters in this game. Now these are the ones we put into, you know, the character Bible that we send to Deke. These are the official drawings that we say you can put this on a t-shirt or a sleeping bag or a video game box or a calendar or a cereal, all that stuff. These are the official ones. So at least for American children caught up in Mario Mania in the late 80s, that was what you got of Mario content until Mario 3 reset the game of what the licensed art would look like. But even after Mario 3, like, you'd still see the official art, you know, from the 2 era still sticking around. And plus the Deke show was so much more Mario 2 than Mario 1. Mm-hmm. Like there's like 3 episodes maybe where they actually fight a Goomba or something. It's mainly even just the enemies are all Mario 2. And so, you've got Luigi front and center as the thinner one, I guess too. You know, we talk about how Mario 2 made Luigi taller and thinner. It also did make Mario fatter. Like he look at him in Miyamoto's drawing for the cover of 1. You know, he's not, I wouldn't call him like fat or whatever, but his belly gets a lot more round in his character model for Super Mario Brothers 2.
Well, they were just referencing Captain Lou Albano in his actual body
That's
type.
That's true.
They were just making him more cuddly.
Mm hmm.
You're right, though, Henry. You did see a lot of that artwork sticking around. I would say until Super Mario World came out. And then they were like, hey, it's the dinosaur pal you can ride. You guys like Yoshi. Here's Yoshi everywhere. And that sort of replaced all the Mario 2 imagery. But up until that point, yeah, I think because Mario 2 did have that emphasis on other characters that weren't just bad guys, whereas Mario 3, you've got Mario, the princess, Toad, and then, you know, all the Koopa kids. I think having that additional friendly face on there, you know, having Luigi present, really made a difference and was, you know, made worked to the benefit of marketing and to making things kid friendly.
Mm-hmm. And all the toys I first got of Mario toys, like there were Luigi toys and the Mario toys. Like I'd, though Luigi got like one toy for every four Mario toys mm-hmm. that there were. Like, but, as a kid who also tried his best to convince his mom, like, well, I have to have all four turtles, mom. The turtles all have to, it's not a complete adventure without all four turtles. Same deal with like, I have to have the Mario and Luigi toys, mom. It's not, I can't play with them accurately without Mario and Luigi.
So let's talk about the games that Luigi has been in, but has not actually been a character in to speak of. He's just been a presence. He's just been this Green Mario. Going all the way back to Game & Watch Mario Brothers, have any of you actually played Game & Watch Mario Brothers?
You know, I played a lot of Cement Factory, but mm-hmm. Game & Watch Mario, let me pull this up here real quick.
Gameplay wise, Mario Brothers, I haven't played it myself, but just looking at videos of it, it's pretty similar in concept to Cement Factory, where there's things kind of moving, but you have control over Mario and Luigi, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
In any of the galleries.
It is in one of the galleries. I think it might be gallery 4, but don't quote me on that.
I did play a bit of it in the gallery version, but the Game & Watches I was lucky enough to have, and this would be after, I didn't ask my parents for Game & Watches until after we had an NES, and they were in the pre-Game Boy world, a thing to hand their overactive child to shut up on car rides. But I played more of Cement Factory than the other one, but yeah, principle the same. Both are just stick figures like with a hat on mm-hmm. them, and that if you look at the box art, you're like, yeah, that's Mario. I see him on the box.
The art, though, is really cool on the outside of the box. They'll retain this for the arcade version. It's the little squat, like Fleischer versions of the characters with really thick lines.
Smart teeth.
Yes. I wish they would have kept that style. I understand why they didn't, but mm-hmm. it's really, really appealing.
I love their like crimped floppy hats too, like you and me, Bob, both own the Metacom mm. toys of those.
Those are my favorites.
And just how they make them look in 3D with those like dumpy bodies and puffy hats that like how they make it work in three-dimensional spaces. Compliments to the Metacom folks.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I have never played this before. I am slowly kind of over time accumulating some games and watches, however you say that, however you pluralize that. I don't have Mario Brothers, but it's one on my list. But in researching this episode, I discovered that in Italy, they sold a Campari branded Mario Brothers game and watch. And now I need to track that one down.
Nice.
It's probably very expensive, and I will finally find one and say, oh, I guess I'm not buying that. But just, I like the idea of Mario and Luigi branded with an Italian aperitif. That's what a great idea.
They should be doing more of that, but Nintendo doesn't have the guts to do ads with alcohol.
I know, yeah. Right? They gotta get over that American puritanical. give us Mario and Luigi promoting a love hotel. Get us back to Nintendo's roots.
You can drink at Universal Studios whenever they open that Mario Land. Maybe they'll have like a Koopa IPA or something you can chug.
That's going to end incredibly well.
They're going to have to tell people, like, no, go over to Jurassic Park if you want a drink. You can't.
Or pay $14.
Yeah. Luigi, all of his drinks are going to be made with Midori.
That sounds tasty.
Pay $14 for, like, a Duff beer at Simpsons World.
Get
out of here.
Which they just even say is like, yeah, it's a Sam Adams. Who cares? Like, but we call it Duff if you buy it in this place.
All right. So shortly after the Game & Watch Mario Brothers came out, Mario Brothers came out in the arcades. We've talked about this before, but again, Luigi is only playable if you are player two in this. This kind of starts off the thing where Mario's player one, and then if another person plays, they get to be Luigi, but you cannot play as Luigi on your own. I guess in the arcade, I think in the arcade, like if you are one person, you have to hit one player. You can't do like the thing where you you know, put in one quarter, then press the player two start button, and it'll let you play on the second controls. I think you have to play on the left side.
That sounds
this would
too
be a
advanced.
Worthwhile experiment.
That's too advanced for 1983.
I have a coworker who has a Mario Brothers arcade machine. He keeps saying, "Come over and play video games with me," and I really need to. And I can test this myself. I'll report back.
If you had told me before I went to Chicago, I could have tested it out at the Galloping Ghost, but haven't yet.
If only I had thought ahead to the conversation that was going to evolve organically during this podcast. I wasn't thinking ahead.
Galloping Ghost was a lot of fun, but their Donkey Kong 3 machine, you know, get somebody in there to work on that, guys. It's not looking as its best days.
Yeah, it's probably because it's Donkey Kong 3. No one loves that game.
It was your mistake for wanting to play it, Henry.
I suppose so, yeah.
But yes, Mario and Luigi kind of got their first outing together in Mario Brothers. And I think that game really neatly and succinctly sums up what it is to be brothers, in that they're supposedly cooperating and helping each other. But, you know, there is this game mechanic where you can, you know, basically kill the other player by punching them from beneath while they're close to an enemy and causing them to like flop forward into a monster.
Symbolically, blowing up the PAL block is wasting your inheritance before your brother can take it.
Yeah. I think that PAL block in two player is only there for griefing. There is no other purpose for it. You're just like, why are you're conspicuously hovering around the PAL block? Are you sure you're not going to flip this spiny back over when I rock up to it? Like, no, of course not. Go ahead and kick it.
I wish, you know, I never played it in arcades until, you know, my adulthood. I never had access to it then. But once I finally got to experience the Mario 3 version of Mario Brothers, it was a lot of fun for my brother and me. Like, it's still...
Stealing cards.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Even better when you can steal a card from your brother. Like, that's my Tanuki suit now, Sam. My brother's name is Sam.
That sounded like a very specific reference.
No, honestly, he beat me most of the time at it, and it eats me up inside.
Well, you know, that's also part of brotherhood. So moving on to 1985, we have Wrecking Crew, early 1985. Although actually, apparently, Versus Wrecking Crew showed up in arcades before Wrecking Crew. And I've never played that one. Is that on Arcade Archives? It probably is, and I've downloaded it and just never got around to playing it.
Sounds likely.
I wouldn't be surprised. Although Wrecking Crew is more relevant than ever because it was just announced not too long ago that Foreman Spike will be in the Mario movie.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's right. He's like sexy Foreman Spike, right?
I don't know what they're doing with him, but he will... I don't know what their priorities are either, but he's going to be there.
Didn't they announce the actor, though? And he's like a pretty good-looking dude?
Foreman Spike was always sexy. I don't know what you guys are talking about. But
Foreman Spike was not sexy in the NES version, but then in the Super Famicom remake for Satellaview, they were like, actually, he's like a bodybuilder now. He's tough and buff.
He's being played by Sebastian Maniscalco.
That's just a handsome name.
It's a very syrupy, smooth name.
And Jeremy, you are correct. Versus Wrecking Crew is on Arcade Archives on Switch.
Okay, so I have no excuse for not having played this aside from just the fact that I'm very busy and I have not created a retrospective video on Versus Wrecking Crew yet, so I'm allowed. But from what I understand, Foreman Spike does not appear in Versus Wrecking Crew, and instead it's either you play as a two-player game or else you play solo as Mario, and Luigi kind of takes the role of Foreman Spike and antagonizes you and tries to mess you up the way Foreman Spike does. But in the NES version, you can play two players, but Luigi looks almost exactly like Mario. Like, he's even red. It's like a different shade of red than Mario, but they look very, very similar in terms of their sprites. They're kind of, it's a weird sort of version of Mario and Luigi because they don't quite look like their usual selves. They've been redrawn, and their overalls actually look like Lederhosen. So I guess they were, you know, took a wrecking job in Germany for some reason.
I guess the money was no good where they were, so they had to go abroad to get work. It's a sad story.
Oh, wait, no, there is money in the Mushroom Kingdom. Actually, maybe that's why they moved to the Mushroom Kingdom. Because
it's like single coins at a time.
It's just floating around. It's in bricks. Whereas in you know, in Mario Brothers, they had to get to the bonus round or else kill an enemy. And then they got one trifling coin.
These two Brooklyn guys go to this simple kingdom where they don't understand money and its worth. And you just take it all.
Sorry about killing all the denizens who had been turned into horsehair plants and bricks. So speaking of horsehair plants and bricks, Luigi did appear next in Super Mario Brothers as a player two only character. He's a little more distinct from Mario this time in that Mario normally wears a brown shirt and red suspenders, whereas Luigi wears a green shirt and white suspenders. This would be easier if I actually had images in front of me. So there's a little more visual distinction until they get fire flowers, in which case I think they both just turn red.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the NES isn't made of color palettes. They can only be so many colors.
I know,
colors.
Right?
Yeah.
It was very limited. Only 52 colors. Come on. So it's worth noting that in the Game Boy Color remake of Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers Deluxe, Luigi is not just a palette swap. I mean, visually he is, but he plays more like his Super Mario Brothers 2 Japan Lost Levels version, because they did add most of the Lost Levels into Super Mario Brothers Deluxe as an unlockable. So there is that little bit of synchronicity there. Although in the All-Stars version for Super NES, there's nothing changed. He is not different.
You know, for as widespread as that Luigi look is in Super Mario Brothers, it's kind of like a singular look. They never replicated it. Like, once Mario 2 came out, they pretty much, you know, also it was the end of Mario having red overalls and a blue shirt in designs too, which I, but the Luigi look I just love is like white overalls with a green shirt. And then like, he kind of has a green tint to his skin even. Like he's kind of like, it's like a sickly color to him.
Actually Vulcan, copper based blood.
I think that white overalls are a poor choice though, because you're wearing overalls to, you know, you know, cover yourself
a sewer?
Up. Yes, exactly. It's all going to show up. It's all going to show up on your white overalls.
Maybe. Well, Mario was probably originally wearing white overalls before he went down one of those pipes.
Now it's red? I don't know. I don't want to know.
It's rust.
I mean, I guess if, you know, they're wearing overalls because they're painting a house white, it's fine. But otherwise, yes. Questionable choice. But that's Luigi for you.
Maybe they were cheaper to get white overalls and he's just, you know.
Could be. You know, it's very expensive.
All I know is if...
Crush beetles and extract the dyes from their carapaces.
All I'm saying is if Mario and Luigi came up to me and I had to hire one of them, I would hire Luigi based on the dress sense. But, you know.
I guess it depends on the job.
I think he'd undercut his brother too on the on prices. He'd be like, I can do it for less.
Probably.
So
we're going to skip over Mario Brothers 2 because that's actually a significant outing for Luigi. Super Mario Brothers 3 is not.
No. Nope.
Although, as mentioned, you can play as him in two-player mode, and it is possible to play simultaneously in the Mario Brothers alike game, the bonus mode. Which is kind of neat, because otherwise it's just alternating play. So you never see Luigi if you're a kid who maybe has siblings, but they don't care about video games. So you always have to play by yourself. Yeah, that's why I don't play with other people anymore.
And the art is the same for Luigi from 2 USA onwards. I don't think there's any Super Mario Brothers 1 art where Luigi is taller and skinnier, is there? I was trying to find some.
No, I think it really... I mean, there's very rare to even see just Luigi art for Super Mario Brothers.
I don't think I've seen any.
They didn't... I do recall there's one bit in here that I forgot to add to the notes, but I just remembered that the Super Mario Brothers anime film from like 86, Luigi is drawn somewhat different from Mario, but it's not like he's a head taller or anything.
And he's got weird colors, right?
Very odd colors, The color palette.
Yeah, he's kind of Wario-ish in the color palette. Mm-hmm. Yellow overalls and a dark blue outfit and underneath.
But also, I mean, the canon of that film is that like Mario plays a game he stars in and then falls asleep and falls into the game that is his game that stars him and his brother.
And they like own a grocery store or something.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah.
That's my dream.
It's been a while since I've seen it. But yeah, I recall Luigi's slightly different in that. But other than that, I think they kind of had to just adapt to Luigi. They're just like, look, in instruction manuals and in the Super Mario 3 cartoon show, Luigi's going to be how he looked in the Mario 2 cartoon show. But it won't be reflected in the video game because they're like not talking to each other, the Japanese and American sides.
Yeah, he's a little taller in All-Stars, apparently. I've never really sat down to compare, but he actually can be made to play differently in Super Mario Advance 4, Super Mario Brothers 3. if you use e-cards, he does not normally play differently, but you can use certain e-cards to like activate switches or something that allows him to play differently than Mario. So if you use this horrible kludgy peripheral with paper cards that are really hard to find and weren't entirely released in the US, just in Japan, then yes, you can make Luigi distinct from Mario. Otherwise, you're out of luck.
It might be worth noting, I think you can do it in the Wii U release of that game. I think they ported all the card functionality into it, just like by default, which is pretty cool.
A Wii U is even harder to find than Wii U. Reader, man.
Not in my apartment. It still is hooked up. That's my Dreamcast.
So then on to Super Mario World, where again, he's just Green Mario for player two only. But someone pointed out the GBA version makes him unique. What is the note here?
Well, so there's a couple bits with it. Yeah. So, well, first off, I just recalled too, through the game, as visually, Luigi looks just like Mario. It's the same deal as always. But if you get to that the end screen, it is Mario, right. Peach, and Luigi. And Luigi actually is the pixel version of him, is the taller, skinnier version of Luigi. It is the Mario 2-ish version of Luigi on the end screen. So it's very interesting that they like did it for that and not the others. And then, you know, a year later, in Mario Kart, he is the taller Luigi, but maybe that was on their way to Mario Kart. They're like, I guess this is what Luigi looks like. And then when a little bit later for Super Mario All-Stars, when they redefined a lot of different sprites for the remake, some version of Mario All-Stars also came packaged with Super Mario World. Mm-hmm. And that version of Super Mario World does have a taller, different-ish Luigi, but not exactly the real different Luigi sprite you're used to seeing. Mm-hmm.
Are you guys familiar with the weird Star Wars theory, Bigger Luke?
No, I've never heard of this.
Okay, there's a real rabbit hole to fall down here, but some people who have spent way too much time watching the original Star Wars have determined that Mark Hamill looks taller in some shots than in others. And there's a theory that, like, there were actually two actors, not just Mark Hamill, and that one of them is taller and one of them is not. And they call the taller one Bigger Luke. Huh. So I think maybe this is time for us to kick off the Bigger Luigi theory.
Interesting. I mean, like, I don't know if people know how filmmaking is done, but maybe it was just a stand-in for coverage or something like that, or maybe he was standing on an apple box. I mean, Mark Hamill's 5'9".
Man, he's that short.
Yeah.
I've seen Mark Hamill in person, but only sitting down, so I never knew this.
That's taller than I thought he was.
As Bob said, I mean, I would personally contend that there are many reasons why the actor may appear taller in some shots than others. But I'm sure these have all been considered by the people behind this theory.
Of course. But I'm just saying that maybe there's something similar with Luigi. Either he's replaced by another actor, or else like they just created the video games from a different perspective. He was standing on an apple crate, etc.
In universe, that would explain a lot of his personality changes, but maybe we'll get to that.
He got recast. It's like it's the other Darren theory, you know, just like a second Darren showed up after once they settle into the Super NES, like the original Darren / Luigi, you know, got cancer or something. And
jeez.
Sorry, that's too much. That's too real. But yeah.
Oh, for God's sake!
this episode's going places. Anyway, it's worth giving credit to the Game Boy Advance remake of Super Mario World, Super Mario Advance 2, because it does make Luigi somewhat unique. It gives him it lets you play, I believe, as Luigi anytime you want, and you can do the floaty thing and basically have hard mode. I think it's great that one of the first games to, you know, say like, hey, you can play as Mario or Luigi in this classic adventure was when they took the series from consoles to the Game Boy Advance, which has smaller resolution and a horizontal resolution. So of course, Luigi's great asset is his verticality. He's taller and he jumps really high. So of course they put him on a system that is, you know, greatly truncated on the vertical axis. So he's even harder to play on Game Boy Advance than on like NES or other platforms. So it's just, you know, it, poor guy.
Was that game, Super Mario Advance, was that the first time that he was given his sort of nasally voice that he kind of has now, or was he voiced in an N64 game or something?
I believe he was voiced in Super Mario or Mario Kart 64.
Okay, yeah, that makes
sense. I think by that point, Martinet was doing Luigi in that kind of voice, and definitely by the Mario Party games on the 64, he was getting up there in the higher range, you know, in the man of a thousand voices, Charles Martinet, all his different ways of doing an Italian accent.
What does Luigi say in Mario Kart 64? I never play as any of the middleweight racers, so I don't actually know.
You know what? I can just pull it up on YouTube if you give me 1 second here.
You know what? I don't think anyone has ever selected him. Nobody knows.
I think it goes, here we go. He's got a deeper voice than Mario.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, maybe it isn't his. All right, here, I'm going to play the video.
Ho ho! Here we go! Bingo! Ho 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 ho! Mamma mia! Wow 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 wow! Yahoo! I'm Luigi, number one!
Ho ho! See, totally different.
Bingo!
That was like Luigi on cocaine. That guy, needs to visit rehab.
I'm a Luigi, number one.
Anyway, yeah, so that I think that was kind of what defined his voice for the series. But certainly the original Super Mario Advance, the remake of Super Mario Brothers 2, is the game in which you hear his voice the most, because those people, those characters will not shut the hell up.
I love it so much.
they toned it down with the sequels, with the other remakes, but they were just drunk with power. They were like, wow, we can do voice clips in a portable game. Let's do nothing but voice clips. That should just be the soundtrack.
In July of 2001, it did really impress me in the first Advance game. And then I think by August 2001, I would have preferred silence. Or I think I probably just turned the volume
on. I don't know.
Down.
Like, I was super annoyed from the moment it started. I was just like, wow, a little of this would be okay. But, you know, like Ocarina of Time, where Link is like, hup, hey, hup, a little bit, you know, when he takes interesting actions, you know, dramatic actions. Yeah. But wow, it's just, yeah, it's overwhelming. So
when they ported Link to the Past to the GBA, I think they added that into every sword swipe. It worked with Mario Advance. I was too distracted by the size of that Shy Guy on the second room. It was massive.
I think
I've never seen a Shy Guy so big.
I think also for Link to the Past on GBA, they changed his hair color from pink to brown or whatever.
I feel like they're messing with our heads, trying to lie to us. Like, no, it was never pink. What are you talking about?
More gaslighting by Nintendo.
Yeah. I had Bill Trinan say to my face his hair wasn't pink. And I was like, what are you? How dare you?
Yeah, he's really adamant about that. Yeah, I can't trust him anymore. Anyway, so on to Super Mario 64, the game that dared to ask, is L real? Well, actually, no, it claimed L is real, but then it did not. It did not provide any evidence. There was no Luigi, no L in Mario 64. We at least got Yoshi, who was supposed to be rideable in Mario 64, until they realized, wow, we can't really figure this out in time for launch. So he just shows up at the top of the castle. He's like, wow, you got all the stars, you madman. I can't believe you did that clock stage. Wow.
Well, thanks to the Nintendo leak, they found Luigi assets last year. And then we've heard from interviews and other sources that the game was designed originally, or was intended originally, to be a two-player game in which it would be split screen and you would be exploring different parts of the castle, one person playing Mario, one person playing Luigi. But they realized, like, let's just make a single-player game first with this new technology, and then we can figure out what a split screen game could be.
And they never gave it to us.
Nope.
Thanks, Nintendo.
Well, the DS version let you do that a tiny little bit. Am I imagining that? I know you can get Luigi before
there's
Mario.
There's like a battle. There's a battle mode. Yeah. So Mario 64 DS added three additional playable characters you have to unlock in sequence. Wario, I think Yoshi is how you start the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can find Wario and Luigi and Mario and unlock all of them. And Luigi does play somewhat differently than Mario in Mario 64 DS. Mm-hmm. But you don't really have the co-op split screen. Even so, there is a battle mode. But
no, I think that may have been in early trailers and things, but it didn't hit the final game because they replaced it with all those mini games or something.
Well, and
yes, Luigi does appear as a card dealer wearing a nice bow tie.
It suits him, I think. I really think it suits him, and they should have kept with that. You know, lean into the whole gambling thing.
He's there to teach the kids how to gamble.
Mm-hmm. but in a classy Monte Cristo kind of way. Yeah, Monte Carlo, not Monte Carlo. You know what I mean. I mean, everybody plays different in Mario 64 DS because you don't have an analog stick, you know?
It's true. Everyone just runs in the walls and plummets off cliffs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I played it with that little piece of string that goes around your thumb. Did anyone have that? Was that a thing?
It came
with the system.
Yeah.
Oh, it did. Okay. I wasn't sure. It was that.
You used it with the Metroid Prime Hunters demo. Yeah, they gave up on that exactly like a week after the system came out. You never saw that again. So for Mario 64 DS, we go to New Super Mario Brothers a year and a half later, where Luigi is once again just Green Mario. But apparently you can play as Luigi anytime you want. He's not just for player two. You hold down the L and R buttons as you select a stage and you can play as Luigi. But the game doesn't tell you this until you finish the game as Mario. And then it's like, oh, yeah, at any time you could have been Luigi. What are you doing?
That did make me grumble, typical. Yeah, that made me go like, oh, come on, man. Like, yeah, not that I would have played with him, but like also I was, you know, that game, it's like 6 hours or something. It was a good time, but it, we've talked about this before, me and Bob's feelings on the new Super Mario Brothers original. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm right there with you and still have one of the lowest scores on record for the game, which is still a positive score, but I was like, come on, I know Nintendo can do better than this. And lots of people were angry about that.
I thought it was really good. I love it. I love that game.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I think there are better new Super Mario Brothers games. actually, all of them.
Was that the only one that had the versus mode? Because I had a lot of fun with the versus mode, the Mario versus Luigi. That was a good time. I don't think they put that in any of the other ones, though.
I think a lot. Well, definitely those mini games that were Mario 64 DS. That was like in most of the Mario DS games. Like, here they are again, playing like and it felt novel at the time of like, oh, I can do multiplayer on the DS with just one cart, and I can just tell my friends like, no, you don't have to own this. Like, let's you can download it through like the internet.
Yeah, there was like a battle mode where you link up, and there was like I think you had to get 5 power stars on each stage, and they were like looping unique stages.
Yeah, I'm watching a video of it now. That's what you have to do in this versus mode.
Yeah,
so I don't think you saw the battle mode in the future New Super Mario Brothers games, because beginning with New Super Mario Brothers Wii, they just added cooperative multiplayer.
Yeah.
So in the first New Super Mario Brothers Wii, where it's multiplayer, again, Luigi is just Green Mario because every character is, you know, green, red, or blue, or yellow Mario, because, you know, let's just be boring as possible. But Luigi is only for players 2 to 4. Player 1 is always Mario in that game. And the other players can choose, you know, whoever gets the interesting looking character first gets to be Luigi, and then everyone else has to pick a Toad. And apparently Luigi also appears as the pity mode. I don't remember this, but reading about it, if you're terrible at the game, then Luigi will appear optionally and automatically beat that stage for you through AI control.
Yeah, that's something that Nintendo was doing a bit at that time, where that was also in Mario Galaxy 2, where it's like, let me do this for you.
I know.
The CPU stepping in and saying, yeah, you can't do this. Let me just step in here and finish this level.
I always understood Nintendo's reasoning for it, but it was like a spit in, like it was, the game was spitting in my face if that ever happened. Like whenever, if it meant that I wasn't good enough to finish it before the requisite number of turns before they go like, hey, you want some help? You know, and Luigi's right here. Look, he'll just do it for you. And I was like, how dare you? How dare you?
I'm not sure if it was this game, but it was one where the super guide made everyone really upset, because if it even triggered once, then your file would permanently not be able to get shiny stars on it or something like that. Like
if you choose it, I don't think like if it shows up as an option, because you could turn it down.
Mm-hmm. And they would refine the super guide better. I think the one in Galaxy 2, the first thing would be like, look, we'll just show you a video of what you're supposed to do, and then you can still do it. And then after that, they're like, here, you keep dying. Here's the invincibility feather or leaf. Like, just do that, and as long as you don't fall down a hole, you'll beat this, stupid.
One thing, one slightly related thing I'm glad Nintendo has stopped doing that was kind of patronizing. With every 3DS game, it was like every hour the game would be like, hey, come on, buddy. It's time to take a break. Mm-hmm. Now with Switch games, they're like, we don't care if you die of a blood clot. Just play until you fall asleep. It's fine.
Just give your system to your younger sibling when you die so they can keep buying games.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I looked this up because I had to know, but apparently it's Mario 3D Land. If you die more than five times in a stage, that's it. You cannot get those shiny stars. This may be apocryphal, but it's on the internet, and that means it's definitely true.
Mm. Hard to argue with that. Anyway, yeah. So New Super Mario Brothers 2, Green Mario is just Green Mario, and he's only for player 2, although you can unlock him for player 1 if for some reason you want a different sprite when you play. New Super Mario Brothers U... Again, it's just like New Super Mario Brothers Wii, where he's just Green Mario, although there is a glorious exception, which is not really part of the game, but it's a like a reworking, a remix of the game called New Super Luigi U, which is basically only Luigi, and it's it kind of feels like the first time Luigi was really given, you know, his own justifiable props. Like, they finally said, you know what, this guy's different and playing with him is a different experience, and let's make it really punishing by not only giving you floaty physics, but also giving you a strict 100-second time limit for every single stage in the game. That is, it's... I have not beaten that game. It's really, really hard.
Well, of course, that came out in the misbegotten year of Luigi 2013, which was, like, fiscally perhaps the worst year Nintendo ever had.
Yeah.
And, not so good for them to go with the year of Luigi, but it was quite a fun year of Luigi content. And, yeah, I love New Super Luigi U. Like, it's my favorite new Mario game, really. Like, I also got to interview Tezuka about it in at the E3 in the year of Luigi, and I annoyed him with questions about Luigi history in general that eventually the translator was like, let's move on to New Luigi U, please. I was like, all right. But but yeah, what I like about New Luigi U was that it was them saying, like, okay, you've complained that everything's too wide and open and you can play too long and it's made to fit all the up to four characters in a stage. Fine. Here is a dedicated levels that are way fast, much smaller. You got to go quick. They're going to be challenging, and they're only made for one person. And you got to play as... But if you want that, you got to play as Luigi. No Mario for you. And yeah, it's great. If you have the Switch version, I haven't played the Switch version of it that packages them together, you and Luigi. But it's totally... I would definitely say check it out on your Switch if you missed it on the Wii.
I do want to play it. That was the same year we got Dr. Luigi, I think.
That's
It did not teach Americans to trust Italian doctors, though. We learned the hard lesson in 2020.
If the Wii U had been more successful, maybe, but, you know.
Dr. Fauci should have grown a ridiculous mustache.
I like the idea of Luigi talking like Dr. Fauci, though. That kind of raspy, you know, New Yorker vibe. I think it works. Like elderly Luigi. I see it.
I think Luigi would have done a better job throwing out the first pitch.
It's true. Yeah. That's when Americans lost respect for that man.
Finally, one final game in which Luigi is just Green Mario. And this one is literal Super Mario Maker, where he's literally... Green Mario, because he is just an alternate sprite power-up that you can get for Mario. He is not a character in his own right. He is a disguise that his brother dons to masquerade as his sibling.
And there are some implications on that one. I like it.
Mm-hmm. So he was one of the many costume mushroom power-ups where they just gave you a wacky new sprite, usually based on something in real life? Or a fictional
character?
Yeah,
you could be like Hatsune Miku or like a car.
Yeah.
Or the best skinny Mario.
Baby Metal.
The best.
I believe he was Arino, called Weird Mario. Wasn't
Weird
he?
Mario.
Weird sure. Mario. Skinny Mario. I'm a fan of that guy, too.
But that's just Waluigi, and you know, which that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to do that one.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even put Waluigi in the notes, but that's, yeah. We will have to do a Waluigi episode at some point.
You're just like
people will demand a full Waluigi episode.
10 minutes, but.
You're just like Sakurai leaving out Waluigi.
I can make a 2-hour Waluigi episode. I know who to call. Stay tuned.
Is it the guy who did the comic?
No, but I'm sure we'll reference that.
Is it Waluigi himself? Somehow?
I have connections. We could get him. he'll do Joe Rogan first, though.
And you just got to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, Lassie, what are you doing here? Timmy's in a well. Sequelcast 2 and Friends is a podcast looking at movies in a franchise, one film at a time, like Harry Potter, Hellraiser, and The Hobbit. And sometimes the hosts talk about video games and TV as well. And now it's part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. Oh, Lassie, we don't need to rescue Timmy. He likes the well enough, I guess. Darth Vader is Luke's father. Lassie, I told you to lay off the spoilers.
Video Death Loop is a podcast where we watch a short video clip on loop until we just can't take it anymore. Along the way, we'll try our best to make each other laugh and to hold out longer than the other guy. You can jump in on any episode, no need to worry about continuity. Check out Video Death Loop on the Greenlit Podcast Network with new episodes every Friday.
All right, so we've talked about, really kind of at length, about the games in which Luigi is not a character in his own right. He is just, you know, there as the alternate form of Mario. But it's worth talking about all the games that made the world love Luigi, where he got to be distinct. We talked about Super Mario Bros. 2 for the Famicom Disk System and Super Mario Bros. 2 for the NES. They are different games. You may have heard about that. But both of those games are linked by the common fact that they both turned Luigi into a playable character and gave him distinct physics and controls from Mario. And as Bob said, he's kind of hard mode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, mm-hmm. And already in a hard enough game for lost levels, yeah. And make it even harder.
Yeah, so his defining trait is that he has a high floaty jump and he has slippery traction, which means you spend more time in the air. You have a little more control, you know, over kind of your hang time than Mario does. But it's just trickier to kind of judge your landings as a result. And when you do land, you may not, stick to the ground the way you want to and slide off the edge of a platform. So, you know, he has more mobility in a sense, but it requires a lot more control and precision. So it becomes pretty challenging. And that's pretty common, you know, pretty much the way he can be defined in Super Mario Bros. 2 also. It's interesting because you think of Princess Peach as having the best jump range, you know, because she hovers for like 3 or 4 seconds. And that gives her a lot of distance on her jumps. But she has a very kind of low jump arc. And it turns out that, you know, from a running start, that Luigi actually travels a lot further than Princess Peach. So, you know, the difference is that Princess Peach can move through areas with low clearance, whereas Luigi can't really get full distance unless there's nothing overhead. So it has to be kind of an open area. But there is that potential. And then, of course, you know, you do the hold down for a few seconds and do the flash jump, and he's got amazing vertical range, basically the height of the screen. Mm-hmm. And that definitely gives him some utility in certain stages, where especially the ones where you're kind of ascending, you can really kind of clear those stages pretty easily with him. Stages that are about, you know, sort of horizontal platforming and precision jumps kind of suck.
I've always wondered if one of the reasons they, you know, I don't want to say make him effeminate.
Bimbo-fied, Henry.
Bimbo-fied. No, but but one of the reasons they lighten his character a bit is that, like, his floaty jump with his wiggling legs, like, it's a little light in the loafers, some might say. But
I think of it as kind of an aspect of him being almost a kind of a goofy sidekick, because that does remind me of the whole kind of what's it called, Coyote Time kind of concept, when his legs are kicking as if he's like, there's no ground, there's no ground, there's no ground. I find that quite fun. It makes him more appealing to me personally.
Well, his move is straight out of like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, like Scooby and Shaggy jumping in the air and their feet wiggling and then they run off kind of thing.
I know as kids we tried to do that, jump and kick our feet, but we could only do it in like a pool underwater, basically.
Yeah.
That was the only
time. You can only do it when no one's watching. It sucks.
I've double jumped before, but it was before cell phone cameras. So.
But then Yoshi stole his whole bit.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? And Yoshi can eat stuff and breathe fire, which Luigi cannot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Super Mario Brothers 2 came out in the US for NES in 1988, and Luigi wouldn't get his own distinct play mode, play style, separate from Mario again until Super Mario 64 DS, which came out 16 years later. That is a long ass time for Luigi to play a second fiddle. That's a rough existence.
Would it be too stupid to bring up the edutainment games at this point where you do play as Luigi? That's more of a different style because you're basically just walking around asking people about monuments and things.
Oh, you see, those don't exist in my world because I...
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not that I deny their existence. It's just like... Those never occur to me because, you know, I was far too old to play those games or need them by the time they came out.
Well, for me, I was just kind of like, well, you know what? I love Mario, but what I love even more is learning. So they were right there for me, you know?
Yeah, I played it because it was a new Mario game. I learned it wasn't when I started playing it, but Mario was missing. It was the Luigi game, even though he had Mario sprites in that game.
Yeah, it was. As I started it up, I realized it was educational and bounced right off it. I think it was a rental, not a purchase for our family. And I mean, the cover makes you think it's a real Mario game because it's like drawn in real Mario style. It doesn't look, you know, like fake, like how Hotel Mario by comparison looks.
The cover's really cool and exciting as well. You got like Luigi looking around for Mario being dragged off by Bowser. It's awesome.
Yeah, and in like a dungeon.
Yeah. And you're like, this is going to be great. And then you play it and it's just like,
hey,
the Leaning Tower of Pisa was constructed. Sorry.
The box warns you it's a geography learning adventure. That's way cool, is what the box says. No geography learning is an adventure or cool.
Yeah, so you're reading it, you're like, oh, a geography learning adventure. Then again, it does say it's way cool. I'm in. Here's $70.
And, all, you know, after all that, we still don't know where the Bean Bean Kingdom is relative to the Mushroom Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like over there, off screen. They never talk about it. It's just,
that one. Okay, right.
They were wiped out by the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yes, yeah.
It's a lot.
So I kind of feel like Super Mario 64 DS was Luigi's renaissance, the awakening of Nintendo's internal development teams to say, oh, right, we've got this other character who is technically distinct from Mario. And so 3 years later, you get Super Mario Galaxy, more than 20 years after Luigi was first playable as a distinct character in the Lost Levels. Nintendo finally said, maybe we should just make this guy his own character that you can play as regularly and will do his own thing, except in the new Super Mario Brothers games, because screw those. Mm-hmm. But they really kind of started to have fun with it during Super Mario Galaxy. And I remember the embargo on this game for the reviews where you could not talk about Mr. L. Mr. L was off limits. Was that this game or was it Mario Galaxy 2, actually?
I think it was both.
It was this game.
He's in this one when you get all 120 stars, I think.
Right. So the thing about this game is that as you play as Mario and complete the, you know, work your way through the game, Luigi is also there kind of having his own adventure in parallel to you that you never really see. It's kind of like if they made the Lord of the Rings films and the Fellowship of the Ring actually occasionally saw evidence of the characters having the adventure that they did in that EA developed Lord of the Rings RPG that was just like Final Fantasy X. If occasionally the film acknowledged that's kind of what this was. Like Luigi was having his own off-brand adventure that wasn't as good as Mario's, but he was still there.
That happened
they
in...
Did use,
oh, sorry.
Sorry, go on.
Go ahead, Stuart.
Oh, I was going to say, I think the same thing. They did actually use that device before in Paper Mario 2.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, where, as you're playing through it, you can check in with Luigi, and he'll be talking about this crazy other adventure he's having in this crazy other fantastical world. It was quite a fun little gimmick. And when I used it again in Galaxy, I kind of thought maybe this is going to be his thing from now on.
When all but Luigi sidekicks made fun of him, of he just like, hey, I saved the day. And they'd go like, you ran away. And accidentally.
Isn't it sort of ambiguous whether or not he's making the whole thing up? I can't remember.
I think it's pretty clear that he is. His companions, okay. None of them seem to like him.
Yeah. Some
of them, I think there's one of them that's just like hanging around because Luigi owes him money. And they basically all say like, oh yeah, he didn't do any of this. What is he talking about?
I've got to replay that game.
Luigi was taking all the credit.
I think they're a little too mean to Luigi in that one. It's a great game, but I like the way Mario Galaxy handles it a little better, because you do get the impression that Luigi is out there with the Toad Explorers doing his own thing. You don't see his adventure, but then, you know, you beat the game and you can replay through all of Mario Galaxy as Luigi in order to truly complete the game. And you're like going through, it's the same levels, right? It's not remixes.
I think so. It's like 242 stars. It's the same game again. I believe.
They're all like punch you in the balls hard because you're playing with Luigi.
I mean, I really wanted to unlock this, but I can't really deal with the motion control stages in this game, especially riding that manta ray, so I never unlocked Luigi. But a friend of the show, Chris Daniel, who's been on the show, he has, I believe he's gotten all the stars as Luigi.
Oh, wow.
Or shines, or whatever
they
have.
You could try the Switch version where it doesn't have motion controls, maybe.
It's a little better. I mean, the Switch version still kind of has motion controls. Like, you still got to...
Oh, does it?
A little bit. I mean, like, when you do the balance on the thing, when you got to point to the screen, you do still have to point at the screen a little bit. I could not have been more excited that Luigi, once the news got out that he was in Galaxy, because I got a Wii in 2008, so I couldn't even play.
Me too,
You couldn't freaking find one anywhere, so it wasn't for lack of wanting to play the game. But once I finally could, I was so excited because, you know, I felt he got a raw deal by Mario 64. You never got to play as him in the real games. They put him off to the side in his mansion. He's not in, really, in Mario Sunshine. Certainly not playable in Mario Sunshine. And so I thought just the deal was, 3D Mario games, you don't play as Luigi. That's just how it's going to be. And to finally, like, get him, and they have still some jokes about how scared he is of ghosts. Like, you find him in the Boo stage. You find him in the haunted house and save him in Galaxy. It's really fun that they put that in there. You know, the EAD jokes about Luigi, they're a little nicer than the R&D2 or Intelligent Systems or Alpha Dreams jokes at Luigi's expense, but they still have some fun with it too.
I wonder how much of the Paper Mario kind of meanness to Luigi is in the Japanese games and how much of it is an invention of the localization teams, because the localization teams take a lot of liberties with those games, which, you know, I fully applaud. Their localizations on those games are great. There is a lot of text to translate and localize, and they have fun with it. But I do kind of wonder, like, just how pathetic is Luigi actually in the Japanese versions of the games? How much of that is, you know, an invention of localization?
I would bet Nate Bildorf's localization definitely embellishes some stuff. But if you just look at, like, sprite animations of Luigi, even in the first Paper Mario, and really in the Mario and Luigi games from Alpha Dream, the comedy is there. Like, Bildorf isn't inventing it out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure. I'm just wondering, like, how much, you know, of the sort of the more extreme parts of it, where Luigi, you know, owes money and none of his companions like him.
And writes in his diary about how he's so much more of a coward than Mario and he'd never want to go on any adventures. Yeah.
I don't know. That game, not to go on too long about Paper Mario 2, which is amazing and it should be re-released, but that game was pretty rowdy and bawdy. They censored a lot of things in it. Like, I remember there used to be, like, chalk outlines of Toads in, like, the little mafia part of the opening town.
Right.
And they censored those out.
I guess Toads don't die.
Nope, not in the localized version.
Isn't there a gallows in the middle of the first town as well?
I think so, yeah. Like, the joke about the first town is, like, it's a real shithole. It sucks. You don't want to be there.
It should be called that. They should just call it shithole.
Shithole?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so on to Mario Galaxy 2, which is more or less a redux of how Luigi works in Mario Galaxy, except he becomes playable as an alternate character really pretty early on in the game. So you don't have to complete the entire game. But instead of, you know, kind of having his own separate adventure, you can just tackle the stages as Luigi. And if you beat a stage as Luigi, I've never done this, but apparently you can unlock staff ghosts to race against in that level. So it kind of opens up another layer of competitiveness, or, you know, a new challenge, I guess, beyond and above playing as Luigi.
I think there are some in that game. There are some in the post game. All the green stars appear sort of in the existing stars that you have to find. And if I recall correctly, some of them are like much, much easier to get with Luigi because of his kind of hang time. But that might actually be completely untrue. I'm not sure. I just recall that the fact that he can kind of do a slightly higher kind of jump from static is useful for some of those.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I think, you know, Luigi's character makeup, his skill makeup is such that there are some situations where you approach them with Luigi and it's just like, this is so hard. But there are others where, you know, it becomes much easier because it trivializes things that might be outside of Mario's capabilities. Yeah. So, you know, that's the appeal of all these kind of multi-character select games all the way back to Super Mario Brothers 2 is that you almost kind of have a difficulty select based on which character you take into a stage. You know, there are some stages where you really want Luigi's height, his jumping height, and you don't care about how slowly he pulls up coins. You just want to get through the stage and jump as high as possible. Whereas other stages, you know, are easier with like Mario or Toad. But, you know, if you're trying to jump onto those, the pidgets with the flying carpets or like hop across albatrosses, that can be a lot easier with Luigi.
Mm. Super Mario Galaxy 2 is still like my favorite Wii game. I love that game so much. It only because I love Odyssey even more did it stop being my favorite 3D Mario game. But like Galaxy 2, I really like that they took the note of people don't want to wait a very long time to play as Luigi. Just they know that Luigi's playable now. Just give him if somebody can get 5 hours into the game, give them Luigi and give them that option.
Yeah, he appears on the starship quite early on, and that, for me, that circumvents the major issue I had with Galaxy 1, which is when I finished it 100%, and it's like, you can play as Luigi now. I was like, cool, I don't want to play this game ever again in my whole life, as good as it is. But yeah, that really got over that problem.
Yeah, I like the approach they take with Luigi in Super Mario 3D Land, where, he uses his Lost Level style physics. He's floatier, he jumps higher, but basically, you rescue him very early in the game, or you have the opportunity to. And once you do that, you can choose to play him at any, you know, the start of any stage. Mm. And again, you know, especially since this is more of a 2D style game, it's not quite, but less of an open world platformer. There are some situations where you're like, yeah, this is definitely where I want Luigi. And then there are some places where you need absolute precision, and maybe Mario is better to take into the games. And
in 3D Land, I think you have to finish it with Luigi to see the final level.
It's true. Yeah. That's what I played a lot as Luigi in that game, just to get like I see the M on my clear screen there, but I don't see the L. Gotta do it again. Gotta hit that goalpost with him.
Do you have to beat all the stages as Luigi or just some of them?
All of them. And you also have to get the top of the flagpole at least once with every stage. And then you unlock the final stage, which is so hard it's not even fun.
Yep.
Man, I don't remember that at all. And I remember I remember going through like the second half of the game. So like
that makes it even longer, because you have to do the whole sort of alternate game as well. You have to do every stage with both of them, I believe.
I loved every second of it. I would never complain.
Oh, I love that game to death. Yeah, it's fantastic.
I really like that, you know, for the longest time, Mario and him have the same costumes and everything, but in 3D Land, he becomes Kitsune Luigi, not Tanuki Luigi. Hmm. Tanukis are now just Mario's costume, and Luigi becomes, you know, the fox, rascally fox spirit instead of the rascally raccoon dog spirit, the Kitsune. I believe Kitsune Luigi is the real, like, official name for it, not just what weebs call it.
It is, you know? Yep.
Yeah, he's not Fox Luigi, he's Kitsune. They embrace Tanuki from Super Mario Brothers 3. They said, Americans, that's what you're going to call it. Mm-hmm. We're not going to spell it right, but...
We won't tell you what the statue of Buddha is, but you'll learn later.
And also, you don't get to see the testicles.
No.
But it's all good. So, yeah, the I didn't realize that about the need to clear every stage in Mario 3D Land as Mario and Luigi to get the...
I'm 95% sure that's true. And if wrong, but then, that, you know, email me with insults.
That's interesting because that's a requirement to get the, you know, like to truly complete the game in Doki Doki Panic. You have to beat all the stages as all the characters. So it's interesting if that's the case that they kind of went back to that concept. But then, you know, the next game in that sort of series, Super Mario 3D World, really embraces the Doki Doki Panic Mario 2 element by giving you the same four characters you could control in Super Mario Brothers 2 and allowing you now to play cooperative four-player action, which it's so good. It's such a good game. Mm-hmm. I really need to sit down and play the Switch remake and the new content in that because I hear it's really cool. I've not had time, but...
That might be... Bowser's Fury might be my game of the year. I don't know. It's close to it. I love that. It rules so hard. Every Mario game... The next Mario game should just be that. Like, they need to expand from there. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I hope that the 3D World re-release on Switch finally got a lot of people to play, like, maybe the most underrated Mario platformer ever, like, because so few people played it on the Wii U. Like,
yeah, there was a lot of Mario Burnout at the time that came out, and also it was on Wii U. Mm-hmm. And it's really a shame because, you know, I remember reviewing that and thinking, wow, this game is so good. I can't believe how fantastic this game is from start to finish. But it seemed like there was just a lot of sort of cynicism around it. And I thought, you know, am I just like losing my mind or losing my touch? Am I not able to be objective here? But no, it's actually a really great game.
It's the distinction of going from Mario Galaxy 1 and 2, which people took as the kind of, I guess, not open world, but you know what I mean, like the open plan-ish sort of Mario mm-hmm. exploration games, to something that is a lot more kind of course-based, which, I mean, I personally prefer, and I love Mario Galaxy, don't get me wrong, but Mario 3D Land I thought was just like 100% pure like joy the whole time. There's even some fun Year of Luigi stuff in that game as well, like if you manage to get mm-hmm. into really obtuse places that aren't really, they seem like you're not supposed to get there, but then you get there and you'll find a tiny Luigi sprite like sprayed onto one of the walls.
I love,
and you'll be like, they knew.
I love the anytime you spot a random Luigi sprite just sprinkled through that game, I'm like,
it's great.
so wonderful. Yeah. And also, like, I like his cat design, again, different from Mario's. He has like leopard spots on him, like it's a really cool cat suit design. And yeah, Luigi's just a fun guy with his other, like, also was finally the ladies got to mm-hmm. have some fun in those games, you know, like we got to finally see what fireball powered Princess Peach would look like outside of course the Deke cartoon that had her look pretty similar to how she looks in the 3D World game.
And then, does anyone want to talk about Super Mario Run? Because I don't.
No. But, okay. But.
Well, that's what I came to do. But no, I didn't. That's not true.
I will add, in Super Mario Odyssey, he's not playable, but he is. I like his little balloon guy design as the guy who appears to give like extra challenges to you, because he has a little. It's his normal outfit. Then he has a balloon backpack on, and then a bow tie.
He has that asynchronous multiplayer game where you hide a balloon somewhere.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I know that we're running short on time, but I want to jump to one thing so we can cover it, if that's okay. I want to talk about Smash sure. Brothers, because in my opinion, yeah. this is where Luigi had a defined personality within the game. This is when they started making Luigi a weak weirdo. Then 2 years later, we had Luigi's Mansion. But Smash Brothers, the first one where he was a hidden character, he is like a joke character. And I think that's where they started thinking, like, why don't we make Luigi different personality-wise within a game, not just ability-wise?
Mm-hmm.
So, question for all of you, because I don't remember the chronology of these trailers, but was Luigi the first Nintendo character to be murdered in a Smash Brothers trailer when Death shows up to announce Castlevania and just like straight up murders Luigi? Because now you see that a lot, like Heihachi just dropping everyone off a cliff and killing them. But at the time, everyone was like, oh my God, I can't believe like this is a Nintendo promo. And they just completely, like literally just on camera, undeniably murdered one of their main characters.
This predated the Ridley trailer, right? Because I would have said that if not. Okay, it did. Sorry.
Yeah, I think, you know, Sakurai had the characters doing pratfalls and stuff for like, oh, they fell to their death kind of thing or whatever. But yeah, I guess the death continued to grow from Luigi finally becoming the ghosts he fears so much.
Yeah, he is the first one murdered on screen in this trailer, the Simon Belmont trailer, but, which rules.
I mean, that Luigi... Once we unlock Luigi in the Smash Brothers game, me and my bros played Smash Brothers quite a lot original on N64, and when we unlocked the Luigi, he was like everybody's new favorite because he had these wacky moves. He would have his little like fists that would go like yeah, and his like his weird like self missile launch forward, and of course like he had the extra his up B. If you hit it just right, would be really powerful, but other times it would be like way weaker than Mario's, and it was this fun. He was, you know, the Dan Hibiki of the game in his original version.
I just loved whenever I had a spare moment pressing right on the D-pad, and he'd do that weird planking taunt that he does, where he just goes completely rigid and like rocks back and forth almost. And I'd love to know what that is, because it's got to be a reference or something cultural I'm not familiar with. I don't know. It just seems too specific and weird to not be a thing.
It's a great joke. I mean, Sakurai has a real, you know, special sense of humor, which I love how it always comes through in Smash games. And definitely, I think he has, you know, he puts in stuff that other previous Nintendo games would have left out because they're like, that's too Japanese or whatever. But he just kind of keeps it in there, you know. And yeah, Luigi, he's still pretty funny in, you know, Melee, but he's less of a joke character.
He's more playable. He's more viable as like a fighter you could play with in future games.
And then the trailers just all became like Sakurai, one of his favorite things, even when he would, you know, as they were first announcing Smash 4, most like even just screenshots that he would release of like, here's a new screen. Look at this action. It would be like a beam sword slashing Luigi or something horrible happening to him.
Yeah, there's a lot of escalation going on with the Smash trailers, and I feel like that's why Sakurai has to step away, because at some point you just can't murder anymore. Like, you've got so much blood on your hands, you're just done.
He killed the whole universe except for Kirby and what?
The most powerful character.
True. Yeah, and once you've gone that far...
And he was right. He was right to do it.
So yeah, Smash Brothers is one of many kind of side games, non-platforming games that have featured Luigi, and we really don't have to go into much detail about this, which is good because we don't really have time. But I mean, you look at all the sports games, the first sports game to feature Mario characters was the sequel to Golf, NES Open Tournament Golf, which kind of evolved from the actual original Golf through some Famicom Disk System releases, the Japan course, USA course, and then you just got the American release for NES. And you can play as Mario or Luigi, but even on the course, Luigi is just Green Mario. Oh, go ahead.
So in the interstitial screens for that game, Luigi is like remarkably verbose and like challenging towards Mario, which I find quite funny. he's just like, so you think you can tackle me, do you, brother?
You know, very Liquid Snake of you.
And also, that game absolutely rules. I just want to throw that out there. That's like a 10 out of 10, that game. I love it.
An important aspect, starting with Tournament Golf, also is for the Mario Online fan community, it did create a ship of Daisy and Luigi. Like, Daisy is Luigi's caddy in that game, and it kind of continues from there. Like, they're often partnered together in, you know, official screenshots for the sports games or for parties.
The movie is about Luigi and Daisy.
Yeah. I believe it was on one of Daisy's later Mario Kart game courses, there's like a golden statue of Luigi and Daisy dancing together. And so
That cements it as far as I'm concerned. That's canon.
The Luigi, you know, I don't think Luigi wants to be tied down with just one lady, but if I have to fantasize about him as one true pairing, I guess him and Daisy. Mm-hmm. I'll go with that. Though he's much more into Prince Peasley in Mario and Luigi games. I actually, right. That's my A number one pairing for Luigi.
Yeah. To be fair, he is dazzling.
Mm-hmm.
So the first Mario branded sports game was Mario Tennis for Virtual Boy. And there wasn't really much differentiation between the characters in that. But in later Mario Tennis games, he tends to be a little faster than Mario and has a better net game. I guess because he's taller than Mario, so he can more easily defend the net. And basically, that style of play carries over to all the Mario sports games. So we don't really have to go into a lot of detail to those. Maybe someday we'll do a Mario sports game episode with people who care about sports.
Just because it's pertinent to the subject, I want to mention really quickly that in Mario, I think Power Tennis, the GameCube one, if you beat the game with Luigi, Mario comes out to congratulate him, shakes his hand, and like fully steps on his foot as hard as he can on purpose.
Wow.
And it's like implied that he's bitter towards Luigi for winning over him. And I think it's the only time that Mario has ever done anything that could be considered malicious in any way. And I find that fascinating. It raises questions, I think, about their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Camelot had a lot. You know, we talk about all the other developers of the fun they had. Camelot had their own version of, the brotherly conflict between them that they put into the golf and tennis games. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially the RPG elements ones.
Yeah.
Also worth noting is Mario and Wario, where Luigi is not playable. He waits at the goal, and when the character you're playing as reaches the goal, Luigi removes the bucket from that character's head, because it's a really weird game.
It's such a weird game.
He's waiting with a big can of solvent.
Yeah.
Yoshi's Island, he's not playable in any of those games, but he is the kidnapping victim. He is the princess in distress, which I guess, when I sat down to think about it, makes sense, because he and Mario are like 6 years older than Princess Peach or something. So if they're babies, then clearly Princess Peach has not been conceived and does not exist in the universe yet. Mm. So someone's got to be kidnapped, and it can't be Princess Peach. Although you can play as baby Princess Peach in Mario or in Yoshi's Island DS.
I reject the canonicity of the R-Toon Yoshi Island. Yeah. If R-Toon made a Yoshi's Island, it don't count in canon. Yoshi's Island is the only one that counts in canon because it's EAD. That's if you ask me, Mr. Mario fan.
Are we to believe that baby Donkey Kong and baby Peach and baby Luigi and baby Mario all just happen to exist at the same time? I don't think so.
Born like 3 months apart at best.
Baby Wario, I think, is there too.
Yeah, with his little magnet coin thing.
Man, that was a dumb game.
It was
awful.
Not great. And finally, the other significant entry in the Luigi canon, outside the games that are specifically about Luigi, like things like, you know, Luigi's Mansion, we've had an episode on that. Mario and Luigi, there's an episode coming up on that I believe Bob is putting together. Mm-hmm. I'd love to do a Paper Mario series episode someday. But there's Mario Kart, where Luigi has been playable from the beginning. And in the beginning, he pretty much was Green Mario. In the first game, they were both medium weight racers. And there wasn't a lot of differentiation between characters in the original Super NES game, besides just their weight class. But as the series has evolved, there has been more differentiation between how the individual characters work. You also have the customization of their special they each have specific vehicles or can specialize in specific parts. And so as a result, you do get a lot more differentiation, and it kind of varies from game to game. But again, I always find middle weight racers, just kind of boring. So I don't ever play as Mario or Luigi. It's more of, you know, Toad or like Rose Gold Baby Peach, or I don't know, whatever the hell is the character in the new games.
I love that they decided Rose Gold is the metallic version of Peach. That was I like Rose Gold things in general. I on the 64, you know, there was one more I wanted to clip I wanted to play. Luigi in Mario Golf drove me crazy on the N64, and I wanted to play his voice clips here just for everybody. It's just about 20 seconds of it.
Excellent. Fine. Good shot. Here I am. Here we go. Hmm. Oh, hurry up already, eh? I'm giving myself a 5. Pretty good. Luigi is a number one.
He does not sound excited at all. Like, yep, I'm not going to play the golf.
Wow, they really need to give him a Zoloft or something.
Gotta give him myself a vibe.
Luigi is a tops. Mamma mia. God. Nice shot. Oh, no.
Charles Martinet hung over that day, forcing Luigi.
Do people say tops in America? That's wild to me. I thought that was a like British thing. This is tops.
You know, I don't know. I'm not against
British and Italian immigrants both use that.
Maybe I don't know. I could see Luigi being a little bit of a tiabu. I could see that.
Though also, if you're like in the 1930s, you know, you'd say like, oh, I'm the tops, right. You're the king of the world, whatever.
Yeah, he's the Gatsby of the Mario universe. the green light at the end of the pier, that's actually Luigi.
Oh,
just
man.
Shining, dazzling, brilliant. All right, well, I just got literate, so I think that's time to end the podcast.
You've alienated everyone.
I really apologize for that.
Oh, wait, I had one last one I wanted to bring up. Just the Mario and Rabbids games, the first, I can't wait for the sequel. And the first one, when it relates to Luigi, what I like about Luigi in that game is you can feel the rules on Mario and Peach and all these other characters who's like, oh, they can't have silly underpants fun with the Rabbids. The Rabbids, like Mario, must be kept pure. But they can do silly crap with Luigi in that game. Like, Luigi actually gets to do funny jokes, or at least, like, madcap silliness with the Rabbids, which I like. That shows the fluidity of the Luigi character. Like, even Nintendo's like, oh, sure, Luigi can, like, fall down and the Rabbids can goof on him. Go right ahead. Mario, he can only make this one face.
Mario can only stare on disapprovingly at the Rabbids' wacky antics.
My final statement on this podcast before the plugs is RIP to Luigi Stripey Socks from the first Mario and Luigi RPG.
Yeah.
Alpha Dream put their own stamp on the character. Nintendo said that is not happening in the future. Mm. You draw Luigi the way he is made to be drawn. So only one game we saw them, but they were beautiful. The end.
And that is why Alpha Dream is no longer around.
Yep, they broke too many rules.
Because the first game,
you're a loose cannon, Alpha Dream.
And they made it open with Luigi seeing Mario in the nude, and that was it. The writing was on the wall.
That's right.
What a great game.
R.I.P. Alpha Dream.
It really is. It really, really, really is.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode as we've talked about Green Mario. And thanks, everyone who is on this podcast, for talking about Green Mario. I'm glad that Luigi got his due, and I'm looking forward to, you know, covering his career with great interest, as Chancellor Palpatine would say, in some of the spinoff games like Mario and Luigi and so on and so forth. Anyway, this has been a fine episode of Retronauts, and you have enjoyed it. And because you enjoyed it, well, I have some great news for you. You can listen to more episodes of Retronauts, hundreds more episodes of Retronauts, if you are new to this show, by going to any podcatcher that you love, except Spotify, and just looking for Retronauts. We have many, many episodes up there. And if you decide, man, this is a show that I can really get behind, if only the audio quality were better and there weren't any cross-promotional reads, well, I have really great news for you, because you can go to patreon.com/retronauts and you can have precisely that, a higher bitrate audio version of the podcast with no commercials and promos and so forth, delivered to you a week ahead of the public feed. That's $3 a month. And for $5 a month, you get all that. Plus, you get 2 patron exclusive episodes a month. Plus, every weekend, you get a patron exclusive column and mini podcast by Diamond Fight. And you get Discord access. Really, like, it's kind of an embarrassment of riches compared to the standard level. So I would just say, skip on past the $3 level, go to 5. It's worth it, I promise. We talk about so many old video games, you would not believe it.
You can hear 2 hours of chat about Garfield video games for the princely sum of $5.
Good Lord.
And we just recently did a Metroid episode. Lots of great stuff there. The great thing about old video games is the time and Entropy march forward, and there will always be more old video games for us to talk about. So this podcast is never going away, and you can enjoy so much of it starting now. Jump on at patreon.com/retronauts. Wow, that was my sales pitch. Gentlemen, please tell us about your existences and the things you do for interest and for monetization. Stuart.
Hi, I do lots of things, so I'll keep it brief. You can find me on Twitter at Stupacabra, and that way you can find all my podcasts. Animania Chat, where we review every episode of Animaniacs, which I dislike. That's the hook. Dillcast, where we review every single Dilbert comic strip ever, which is the dumbest and worst idea I've ever had. But we're having a lot of fun doing it because it's so boring and bad. But the podcast isn't. You should definitely listen to that. And we do Arseholevania, which is about coming up with one of the worst takes imaginable and then tweeting the take and laughing at everyone who thinks it's real, but less smug than it sounds. And there's another one which I've forgotten, and they're going to hate me for it.
It might be too many podcasts. I think if you start forgetting the podcast exists, it's
I think what I'm getting from this is that I should start more podcasts. I'll do it, Jeremy. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right.
Godspeed. Everyone should always be podcasting.
Hey, I'm Henry Gilbert. Follow me on Twitter at HENEREYG. I'm known to tweet about Mario from time to time. One of my most viral tweets ever was about Mario's nipples and the history of them as appears in canonical content. When I'm not talking about Mario's areolas, I'm talking about the TV show The Simpsons on Talking Simpsons, a podcast I do every week with Bob Mackey. And we also do twice a month our What a Cartoon podcast, where we cover super in-depth animated series through the history of animation all over the world. Both of those you can find, What a Cartoon and Talking Simpsons, wherever you find podcasts. And we do so many exclusive podcasts on our Patreon because we are Patreon funded at patreon.com/talking simpsons right now or soon. I don't know when this goes live, but probably around
in 4 days.
Oh, well,
there are 4 days left.
The next month, me and Bob are going to be blabbing about
no,
Batman.
No, this month. In 4 days from this podcast going live, Henry.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's when we're blabbing about Batman. Bob, why don't you tell them about
yes,
that?
Yes, we'll be talking about Batman the Animated Series and an exclusive 10-episode miniseries on patreon.com/talkingsimpsons at the $5 level, along with all of our other past miniseries. So check it out there. And as for me, I am on Twitter as @BobServo. Henry did all of our plugs, so I will plug something that I did not do. I will say, if you have a child or are a child at heart, perhaps, please pre-order my wife's new graphic novel coming out, Sparks Future Perfect. That's P-U-R-R-F-E-C-T, available coming out in March of 2022 by Scholastic. It's a great series, and she does great work on it. So again, that's Sparks Future Perfect.
And finally, you can find me, Jeremy Parrish, at GameSpite on Twitter, although I'm not really that spiteful. As I've said before, I'm a jovial fellow. You can also find me doing stuff with Limited Run Games. Perhaps if you buy a game from Limited Run Games, you will find an essay or even an entire book by me inside. You can also find me on YouTube as Jeremy Parrish. Just look for my name. I post a weekly video episode that is a chronology of classic video games, generally Nintendo-oriented, but I also venture onto side projects from time to time, actually a lot of the time. And let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, I have some books related to those videos. Virtual Boy Works and Super NES Works Volume 1 just came out pretty recently from Limited Run Games, the publisher. And they pretty much sold out, but they're going to be reprinted. So look forward to those reprints, and please buy them because they're great. Anyway, that's it for this episode of Retronauts. Please go play a game featuring Luigi, and it'll be a great time. You'll love it. And listen to more Retronauts because it's a great time, and you'll love it. All right. Good night.